I'm going to conclude our teachings on prayer tonight. And we're going to trust God for what we're going to be looking at from next week. James in chapter 5. James in chapter 5. We're looking at fulfilling the will of God in prayer. James in chapter 5, fulfilling the will of God in prayer. And I'm going to say one or two things that we've said before to remind us so that our focus will not shift. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. And it says, pray one for another that you may be healed. He now says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we said that the interesting thing about this passage is that the Bible uses Elijah as an example of a righteous man. And so that we can know that he's not speaking about his conduct, he says he was a man of like passion. Like passion means that the same weaknesses that we have, the same mood changes, the same character defects, he was a man of like passion. So there was nothing special about Elijah. The only thing that was special about him was his faith. Then he calls our attention to what does he mean by the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. And last week we looked at that verse in the Amplified. It said the effectual fervent, earnest, heartfelt, and continued prayer. It says earnest, heartfelt, and continued. That means there was something Elijah did in place of prayer. He sustained this prayer. There was a continuity about the prayer that Elijah. By the time you look at the results that Elijah got, one of the things we understand now that we are in the New Testament is the fact that Elijah did not just desire, Elijah prayed. Elijah didn't just pray, Elijah determined what the outcome will be. In the history of the church, many times, many revivalists were stirred up by the scripture. Praying hard was one of them. What stirred them up? They believed a man could have power with God. And the power was secured in the place of prayer. It says Elijah was a man of like passions. What did he do? The Bible says in verse 17. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions like as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the heart by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Next verse. And he prayed again. Those are the facts James wants to call our attention to. Why is James calling our attention to these facts? He just told us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Say, I'm a righteous man. He now says effectual fervent. So Elijah was fervent. He says that's how righteous men ought to pray. They are fervent. He says it makes tremendous power of God available. Amplified says dynamic in its working. The word dynamic means that you make power available that can be used to solve different issues. What does our prayer generate when we are not praying for things? We are generating power that cannot be used to handle different things. That means there are times that the power we generate can be used to sort out family issues. There are times the power we generate in prayer can be used to rescue or deliver a fellow believer. There's a time when the power we generate in prayer can be used to actually minister healing to those who are sick. But it says the effectual fervent prayer of righteous man. And five says that earnest, heartfelt, and continued. Three adjectives. It says it makes power available that is multifaceted in its working. So we are the ones who are honest. We are the ones who are fervent. We are the ones who continue. The generation of power depends on us. What did Elijah do? He made power available and channeled it in one direction. He says he prayed that it might not rain. Now, if we don't have the Epistle of James, from the record we have in 1 Kings 17, which is the first place we're introduced to the ministry of Elijah, you wouldn't know that it was prayer. Elijah was a very bold person, and obviously it was boldness he got in place of prayer. Elijah came before the king and said, there shall be no rain except at my word. That's all the introduction we have. So it was James that lets us know that that declaration was backed up by prayer. So when you see believers saying things like, you shall decree it and it shall be established, it shall not be established if you have not generated power. Because the man stood before the king and declared, or the declaration was the execution. It had been done already in the place of prayer. Was it God who was responsible for ensuring there was no rain? No, it was Elijah. What was Elijah following? The law. What was written in the law? That whenever they sin, there will be no rain. So was it God enforcing the law? It wasn't law. It was Elijah who wanted to bring the nation to repentance. Was intention good? Yes. Was his method necessarily God's method? Not necessarily. That was Elijah's method. So who was responsible for stopping rain? It was Elijah. That affected weather pattern. He prayed earnestly until he was confident that enough power had been generated to ensure there would be no rain. And in case the king felt it was accidental, he prayed again. To pray again means that he was operating the law. Hallelujah. He was operating the law. How I wish we would get to understand how much authority and power lies in our hands in the place of prayer. That a large number of things we think God determines, he doesn't. If God is the one who determines those things, why then do we receive burdens in prayer? Think about it. A number of us receive burdens. We see visions. We have steerings and promptings to pray for others. Many times. Why are we being steered to pray for others if God could just bypass us and get it done? There is a role that we play in fulfilling the will of God on earth when it comes to praying. So if there's a ministry that is general, that is given to every single believer, it's a ministry of supplication in the whole body of Christ. And we have established the fact that if we're going to follow the footsteps of Jesus, the focal point of our prayer can't be for things. We saw it in Mark chapter 1. We saw it in Luke chapter 11, chapter 6, verse 12. We saw how Jesus went and prayed all night. And Jesus' all night was 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., whichever hours. You know, when we come for prayer meetings in church and we're praying for 4 hours, some people are already like, just let us go. What is it? Life is not this difficult. And it's true. When you say life is not this difficult, it's because you are not seeing behind the scenes. It's because the things we're praying for, we cannot pray prayer of faith concerning them. There are things that require labor. There are things that require agonizing sometimes because there's conflict going on spiritually. And I said some things in this series that I pray that it will stick to your consciousness. Why don't you always do what you know to do in situations? There are things you find yourself doing after you've done it, tell yourself, but I know more than this. Then why did you do it? How come the good that you know to do based on your knowledge of what you don't always do it? It's a functional prayer. You had God's word. You were taught. Why don't you walk in the light of all you have been taught? Because more often than not, you have not prayed yourself in it. So there are things that we take for granted. When Jesus gave that parable of the sower, he said, those who that fell and they didn't understand it, Satan cometh immediately, not next day, immediately, and taketh away the seed sown. But the word that you receive, that you started praying on so that you can be anchored in it, the understanding of it simply grows in your heart. So we ask ourselves questions. Why don't we always walk in all light that we have? Because it's more of a function of praying. But no man does the will of God automatically. We all love God. Don't you love God? Question, why don't you always show that you love God? Why don't you get the will of God done automatically? Why was Jesus praying 12 hours? He didn't have houses he wanted to. He wasn't praying for contracts. There was no temptation. There was no, Jesus has a particular addiction he wants to break. No. There was no demonic stronghold. What was he praying for? He was praying for his assignment upon the earth. He was praying for the disciples and how they would turn out. In fact, we saw in Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Verse 31, one of the prayers of Jesus. Because the Bible, seeming interestingly, does not tell us, Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Behold, Satan has what? Desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. If you remove the word in italics, this is what it says. Satan has desired you that he may sift as wheat. But I have what? If you use the word but, you are introducing a condition, isn't it? An exception, which is, I have done something about what Satan wants to do. But I have prayed for you that your faith, So did Jesus pray for Peter? How did Jesus know that Satan was going to sift Peter? How did he know? Because it was. Do you know when you pray for people, it's easier to pick up things concerning them? I hope you know. Oh. There is nothing sweeter than word of knowledge that comes by you praying for people. If you pray for individuals, you know about their future. You know some things that want to happen, some things that want to unfold. You know how to sort things out in place of prayer. Jesus told Peter, see, Satan had said. Somehow, Satan must have sensed that Peter will be given the major responsibility of heading the church, the early church. So Satan came after Peter. How was he going to do it? He was going to bring trials across Peter's path. When we saw Peter deny Jesus 3 times, those are the trials, challenges. And if you put yourself in Peter's shoes, you may not have done any better also. You may deny outright. In fact, the first time he denied, second time he almost swore. The third time he said, if I know him, let me die. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. So it was Peter's faith that Satan was after. The word faith there means that Peter should be lost entirely. But Jesus said something, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, strengthen your burden, which is the assignment hasn't changed. The assignment Peter had was so great, Jesus knew Peter will have to be anchored in the truth. Jesus didn't say, Peter, you are so weak. Peter, you are foolish. This your mouth will put you in trouble one day. You know, it's amazing how you see believers going through difficulties and other believers form a gossip club. It's amazing. We've always known that it will fail. The way he has been behaving, he has to fail. It has finally happened. If the number of times we gossip, we spend that time praying, only God knows how many deliverances we'll have had. Why are we always looking for why? The reason in the natural why people are forgetting, Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalm 34, verse 19. If you are the righteous, afflictions are many. The reason is very simple. You are going against the course of this world. It might be at work because you refuse to be fraudulent. You refuse to join the club of those who swing through management. So you face a lot of persecution. You have some people who are even above who are already planning your exit. I mean, men. So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord. In that single verse, the bridge between the afflictions and the deliverance is prayer. That's the bridge between the two of them. What has God designed for a believer when you're going through affliction? Deliverance. God is ready to deliver. Will deliverance manifest automatically? No. What will bring about manifestation? Prayer. But let me show you something. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm looking for that scripture that says that the Lord knows how to deliver the just and reserve the ungodly unto the day of judgment. The language there is very strong. It's 2 Peter should be chapter 2, I think verse 9 or so. I think. Thank you. The Lord knoweth how to what? The out of what? So the prayer that Jesus prayed for Peter, what was it meant to do for Peter? To deliver him out of what? Now, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of what? Judgment. To be, of course, you know the word unjust there. Don't take that actively now. The unjust there are people who refuse to believe or who reject the mercy of God. What will happen to them? They will be. So it says, the Lord knowing how, or there's a technology in God to deliver the godly out of difficulty. The word temptation there, out of difficulties. There's technology in God. How does technology manifest? Prayer. So look at it this way. You are praying. I am praying for the church. I'm praying for fellow saints. I'm not praying once in a while I'm praying every day. Why? Challenges are every day. God's ability is able to save us to the uttermost, but the power has to constantly be generated to realize the fulfillment of the scripture. So prayer this way is not something you take vacation from. Hallelujah. It's not something we take vacation from. You know, we finish Holy Ghost meetings now, and some people are like, hey, I don't have to pray 1 hour every day again. No, you have to now pray more. Why? We are getting to the end of the year. This is the time that you have a good idea of how next year will be. How many of you know that? This is the time that you have a good idea when next year. Oh, the more you pray, the more you become aware of the plans and purposes of God concerning you and concerning others. Any man who engages regularly praying for others, details about what God wants to accomplish, not just in your own life, in life of others, start being unfolded to you. That means that one of the ways to show you are a maturing Christian is that you have a list of people you are praying for regularly. As long as your prayer is me, myself, and I, you are not growing at all. That's the baby Christian. You should belong to the assembly where they have 21 prayer points. A lot of them have to do either being delivered or getting something. That's what you are interested in. But Jesus prayed all night, and he wasn't praying for cow house. Praying all night by Jesus, who had no sin, shows us that he took that length of time to generate enough power to fulfill the will of God on earth. That's what he means. He had to pray that much. So why then do we think that short prayers will get the job done? It can't. With the exception of a few times, we were not told what Jesus went to pray about. We only saw results during the day. I haven't prayed all night. He slept, preached, healed, and did many things during the day. He never prayed during crisis. It was always addressed during crisis. Think about it. Why? He had generated enough power all night that during the day, he simply used the power generated. Jesus never prayed in emergencies. He got Lazarus' tomb. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. He said, for the sake of those people that are here, that's why I said it. Lazarus, oh yeah, come. When the power was generated, in those sessions of prayer, hallelujah, a man who watches in the place of prayer is never surprised. He's never caught off guard. Hallelujah. I am excited when I receive burdens. Why? Somebody says why? Because you are not going to receive burdens in prayer if nothing can be done about the challenge. The question now is, would you give enough attention to the burden you have received to effect the will of God at that particular point in time? And you know, interesting part, when you are picking up a burden in prayer, if you have not been exercising yourself in prayer regularly, it becomes difficult to yield. It becomes difficult to yield. It is as you exercise yourself regularly in prayer that you even know that what you are picking up is a burden. I told you the story several years ago. I've never forgotten because it made a strong impression on me of how the life and death of a fellow saint can be hanging on our shoulders without us knowing. Because me and this particular person were in the same church, local assembly, we were on campus. And he had a burden that was upon him almost all day. And instead of him to know this is a burden and start praying, he did everything but pray. Said he felt restless, so he started exercising. He ran, he jogged. He did press up, he did everything. He came for service, the God didn't go. What was he supposed to do? Pray. It is dangerous not to know that what you are sensing is able. That is, everything is fine, yet everything is not fine on the inside. You know, there are people who pick up bodies and they don't know that's what it is. They're just restless. The reason why you don't is because you've not been exercising yourself regularly in prayer. Think about it. There are some things that will not be very glaring. That will not be, let me use the word, there are some things that will not be clear to you. Something just be blurred to you. And little things like that matter a great deal. This young man did nothing. Went home, body was still there, or knees was still there, slept. The next day, the very next day, very early in the morning, robbers came to their neighbor's house. They didn't come to their house, come to their neighbor's house. They were on their way. After robbing the neighbors, the father stepped out of the house. At the entrance of the gate, saw them and they shot him. And that was it. If he had prayed, the man would have stayed back. he would have given power. Just man would just have stayed back. What was the Spirit of God trying to say to alert him? You can change this. This is about to happen. You can change this. What would Paul have done? He would have kept the father alive longer. Think about it. So a lot of responsibility is upon us. I shared with us the other time on the story about how these missionaries, how they went to rescue a girl from a village. You know, I shared with that story. And how they were about to be murdered and slaughtered. And midway through the process, those natives were arrested by the power of God. And about 3 days later, I was talking to another missionary in another village. And that one asked him, she was a female, she asked him, were you in trouble at so time of the night? Said, what time? She gave the time. Said, why are you asking? Said, I tried 3 different times. The Holy Ghost woke me up to pray. They thought that when I saw I was falling asleep, I put my leg in water and I started praying. And I prayed and prayed and prayed until the body lifted. That was the time this other missionary and his associates were about to be slaughtered by the natives. And instead of slaughtering them, the same natives fell down before them and started worshipping them because they saw 2 giant angels manifest. Were the angels always with them? Yes. Could the angels manifest? No. What caused them to manifest? Prayer. Power was supplied in prayer. Hallelujah. Power was supplied in prayer. Even angels depend on our praying. Bible says, 21 days, Daniel stayed in prayer. 21 days. Then shockingly, when Gabriel appeared, he told him, Daniel, you that you are greatly beloved of God from the first day that you prayed, I was sent. So why are you coming on the 21st day? I was withstood in the heavenlies. Why are you here now? You continued praying until further assistance was sent. So Daniel persisted in prayer until further assistance was given to Gabriel and the opposition was cleared. Think about it. Now, if you are like Daniel, the first time you prayed, while you are still speaking, Gabriel appeared. Second time you prayed, no Gabriel. For 21 days, what will you think? God wants me to suffer small. He wants to see how much I can endure. That, you know, that's how evil theology develops. What did Gabriel say? I was released from the first day. Why are you just coming? There was hindrance in the heart atmosphere. How did you overcome? I didn't just overcome. Your prayer released another angel, a warrior angel, who helped me to overcome. So the fault had nothing to do with God. It was in the atmosphere of the earth. Why couldn't God do anything more than release another angel? It was Daniel's prayer that summoned Michael. Why did he require Daniel's prayer instead of God doing something? The heaven, even the heavens belong to the Lord our God, but the earth has he given to the children of men. So man's prayer is pivotal in angelic activity and deliverance, much more than we think. There are slip ups, areas where we have missed it that God is going to ask us. This should not have happened. If you had done what I told you to, you should have prayed. Why is God counting on us? He gave you His Spirit. So the supply is there, the wisdom is there, the utterance is there. What do you have as a man? Authority as a son of God on the earth. What are you meant to do? Use the authority in the place of prayer to rectify things. I was talking to a particular person who was complaining about some things that were happening, and I said, why, how come throughout this season when you were facing this, you have never used authority one day? So this man or this woman is misbehaving. You didn't stand at the door of your house and say that. You call the person's name. In the name of Jesus, you are coming to this home peaceful. Whatever is following you stays outside the door where there's peace in this home. You know, believers don't think that way. They take everything on the surface, the flesh level. And then when the challenge increases, they start crying. I don't know why God is not answering my prayer. He doesn't need to answer your prayer. You are not taking your place. The authority has given you, you are not using it. Hallelujah. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Means that many times, opposition comes against us through men. Those men are being influenced. What you do? Don't face the men. Face the influence. Break the influence. Because you have authority over demons. Think about it. Break the influence. That's what you're meant to do. But if you're not sensitive in prayer, you would think you are dealing with flesh and blood. But more often than not, we're not. A young man was telling me that, and the wife testified to it also. He said, he'll be happy and excited and jovial. But when he gets to the door of his house, he will just change. He'll just become moody. when he gets up, just snapping. Then we ask himself, this woman has not done anything against me. Why am I doing this? That is, it's something he's asking the question. What are you meant to do? You pray, something is wrong. You already know that everything was fine until you got there. In fact, let me please say, there are many of us, particularly men, you were laughing outside, you go home. How many of you, has it happened to you before? Me, it has happened to me before. If it has not happened to you, may it not happen to you. You go to the door, and for no reason, you just start snapping. If you don't notice the process, has it happened to you before? You just go, for no reason. It's even when there's a reason. No reason. Just got to the door. Just enter the house. They're not smiling again. And you think there are no forces. There are forces that seek to influence us. But a praying man is difficult to influence because he's already influenced by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to explain to us why we don't stop praying. Holy Ghost meeting is over. The assignment God gave us to do is not over. It's still on. What does that mean? We keep praying. It is not what are you praying for. It is are you praying. That's Christian language. May God deliver us from this mindset of what is your prayer point? Which prayer point? The Bible doesn't ask me for prayer point. The epistles teach pray without ceasing. You cannot pray without ceasing and say you have prayer point. It's not prayer point though. It's that you are constantly supplying power that must be used. That must be used. You are praying every day for bread and you're praying every day for the church. It is when you are praying that direction now comes. You may pray for a sister who is about to miss it big in relationship. And because of your prayer, the scales just fall from her eyes. And the wrong decisions she's about to make that will have cost her a lot in life. She just escapes it. Now, some of those things you don't even know that God used you to accomplish that. But great is your reward in heaven. And particularly when we get to heaven, there are some mothers. Where they stand, some ministers won't be able to stand there. And I think of the mother of people like John Wesley and Charles Wesley. There are ministers who can't stand where that woman stands. A woman who prayed four of her children in the ministry. And they did the will of God. One woman. Praying for them was a full-time job. Remember the story of one particular minister. He said, I think he lost the father early. All he had, they were so poor as in. No poor has definition. When poor people call you poor, you are poor. When those who think they are poor, when they look at you and say, you are poor. You are poor. So they were so poor, he struggled to primary school. Struggled to secondary school. But now I was always praying. So there was always just enough, always a supply because mother was always praying. When he got admission, my money was struggle to where we get money for anything. He were only going to get enough money to get to the school. Nothing else. He had just one small box, got to the school. Nothing else was available. He said, Mom, what will I do when I get there? He said, just go. I'll be praying. Because he had seen the mother's influence in the past, he did exactly what the mother said. He lined up when they were lined up to pay, not having anything to pay. It was two persons to him. They were about to call. That somebody walked up to him and called him. Are you so and so? Yes, step out of line. He stepped out of line. He said that here is the tuition, here's everything. A man he had never met before. Gave him tuition, gave him everything needed because he had a woman, a mother that was praying. A college professor said, it is better to know how to pray than to get a college education. He said, because if you get a college education, you may never learn how to pray. But if you know how to pray, you can still get a college education through praying. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Say tremendous. Let's focus on that word, tremendous. How glorious it will be if we know what it means for tremendous power to be supplied. That is, you can alter situations. You can change events. You can even change lives. Hallelujah. Your kids, one or two are misbehaving. And you think counseling will work? No, power will work. Open your mouth to speak to your kids after you have prayed. When you have prayed and you talk to them, you are eating them with something. That's what you are doing. Because many times, because of the course of this world and things that are happening present in this generation, kids are susceptible to a lot of negative influences. A lot of it. So you need power in prayer to pass across certain information to them. You are going to go this way, you are not going to derail. You cannot derail. We have already set you on a course. The kids try to step out of line, cannot. The boy is hemmed in on every side by the power of God because the parents are like, you, we have cooked you in prayer. Well, we have do you. That is not possible. You can't join cults. It's not possible. Except they join you in your faith. What is around you is so strong to be broken by any external influence. Why? You've already hemmed that young boy in by praying for the boy. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, it says, makes tremendous power. Tremendous power. That means how much power is in supply is a function of how much you and I actually pray. We actually determine, it's not God that determines, we're the ones that mean. If Elijah can determine that, you know what it means to pray? For you to now come out and say, for the next 3 years, forget, no drop. And Elijah is speaking for a whole nation. Not family members, a whole nation. He said, if I don't speak, forget. This thing, I've done it. We've settled it. Go anywhere, consult any divinity, nothing will happen. No drop will fall. When it was time, he came out and he said, okay, it is only now you will see. What did he do? He followed the same process. He prayed earnestly. Not casually, earnestly. Honestly. So, it is your regular prayer life of this way. Remember, we're not talking about praying for things. Praying for things is fine. It's okay. But listen, no one who engages in a serious prayer life focuses on things. Things will come, they will go. But the souls of men are eternal in nature. So, our real labor is concerning men. If I want you to stand perfect and complete the will of God, I can't pray for you one day and it will work. Nope. I pray for you. I keep praying 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 for you. When I see you are beginning to walk, I don't stop praying for you. I still keep praying for you. I pray for my pastors. I pray for my leaders. I pray for members. In fact, let me tell you a secret. A number of times, how I know who to minister to in a special meeting is I pick it up in prayer. I see things in prayer. I see myself saying to this person in the place of prayer. When I'm meant to minister to that person, I say that that's how I actually know, this is going to happen to this person shortly. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. I see myself saying to this person in the place of prayer. Why? Because I prayed for the person. It's the fastest way to even get into the gift of the Spirit. Because if I'm praying for you, I will pick up intimate details about you. Whatever God wants you to accomplish in life. Hallelujah. Why? That's coming from a place of compassion. That's where it's coming from. If you love people enough, one of the ways you engage yourself is that you pray for them regularly. Hallelujah. That's what we're meant to do. That's our calling, God. Look at that Colossians 4 that we saw last week in verse 12. Colossians 4 verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you. Say always. So look at three adjectives. Always, laboring, fervently. Three words that should ring in our hearts. Always, laboring, fervently. Can you see that? So if you remove always, Epaphras, who is one of you, labors fervently. But when it tells you always, means that the guy doesn't go have vacations. Always laboring fervently for you. What is he laboring for? That you may stand perfect and what? Complete in all the will of God. Do you see that? The word laboring fervently for you, that word is the word to agonize. The agonizing there involves conflict. There are believers who live as unto carnal because rather yield to spiritual growth, they are yielding to the flesh. Now, conflict therefore is you praying them out of that state of carnality into a state of spirituality. Which is, you're praying that the influence of the flesh will win and the influence of the spirit will reign. Let me say that again. That the influence of the flesh will win and the influence of the spirit will what? Reign. Now, so we have believers who are so given to carnality. Now, again, like I said, if you are not used to praying for fellow believers, you will gather with one or two people, gossip will start. That's what you will do. Imagine. Did you see what Sister Banis? Did you see the clothes she was wearing? And she calls herself a Christian. There's nothing we're not seeing in this church. Imagine. See the clothes she was wearing. Did you see her hair? If you see that hair, look at the color. Reddish green. Even the usher would not allow that one to come. What am I saying? The note is, if you are giving much to prayer, when you see certain things that are supposed to be, the first thing that happens on the inside of you is, I need to pray for this person. I need to pray for this person. When you see believers who are not acting like believers, the first thing that happens is compassion and pray for this person. Because when you see somebody who is acting below their knowledge, you know they are missing it. You know they have been deceived. You need to pray for this person. Hallelujah. You see them at the club, places where you ought not to see a believer, you pray. Why? They are not walking their identity. Something is wrong. They are blinded. They don't have a full awareness or comprehension. So gossip will never help, has never helped anyone. It is love and compassion in place of prayer. Because there's a delight that comes from seeing the same person now walk the light of the truth. Imagine if Ananias had refused to go to Saul. We would not have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Romans, Colossians, Philippians. God forbid. I cannot imagine life without those books. Imagine all that was inside of Paul to come out. They imagine if Ananias said, I'm not going. And the Barnabas also, that was instructed by God to bring up Paul to help him to find acceptance and help him in his Christian good. And Barnabas said, I'm not doing. Ah. In fact, they were doing themselves because they benefited from the ministry of Paul. So many times, those that God has given us assignment to pray for and over, they are meant to be, and let me say this because it's important, because I discovered this years back when I started, first of all, was introduced to praying for the saints. Okay? Because in the 90s then, mid-90s particular, we'll pray for the church. We'll pray for the special program. It will be a vigil for the church, another vigil for special program. Sometimes we now have a vigil for ourselves, but those first two must happen. So the last one is not guaranteed, but the first is guaranteed, is a vigil. Thursday vigil for the church, Friday vigil for special program in that ministry. So the way I was brought up, I wasn't brought up to pray for things. I was brought up to pray for the things of God. Thousand. Let me now say this. Many times God will lead you to pray, listen carefully, for certain things he wants to do through another. You are not the one that would do it. If something is going to do through another. That's why I said that. You know, I said something, was it 2 Wednesdays ago, about the fact that I need you to be very sensitive and very careful in the times we're in, because social media is creating false impression in people's minds. It's a make-believe world. A lot of pictures you see, they are not so. Okay. Even ministers who came to meet me, I was talking to them about that. Pastor, in fact, did you see so-and-so, the pictures they took, that they were asking themselves, it's not the meeting that we went for. How did they take pictures like this that looks as though everywhere was filled up? I don't understand. So people have learned how to doctor because they are concerned about the image they pass across. Yes, son. Funny enough, I am like the opposite. I instructed them in technical, don't transmit the video live. I told them, you won't see me post anything about Holy Ghost meeting besides advertising the meeting. Say why? Some ministers came for the meeting. They were asking later. One of them said, sir, what is this? I said, the power of God. I said, this is why I don't explain on Facebook. Some things are not meant for Facebook. I said, if I say it on Facebook, I will still be understating what happened in those meetings. Do you know something? Now, things happen because we give room for the glory of God, isn't it? But we don't go out as that spreading. It's like you're trying to prove a point, which is unnecessary. Why you not allow the video to be shown? Because some people will not even understand what's going on. power of God can be this intense. You won't understand what's going on. So I said, record it, it's recorded for our own benefit. But don't transmit life. It's deliberate. It's deliberate. Because there's some things that you need to keep under wraps for the meantime. There's a time for everything. But if you are interested in pleasing men, you will find yourself walking the senses and the flesh. God will have you pray for people. Pray for assignments. Pray for certain things He wants to execute through others. That's not even you. Many of those things are things that show that you are walking with Christ in a ministry of love and compassion that is selfless. You already sense that it's not going to be through you. Yet, the burden has laid upon you. Do you know that the ministry of Jesus, in Luke chapter 2, we have at least two people, Simon and Anna, a prophetess. They prayed for Jesus before He was born. They knew it wasn't them. But it was Simon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he had known by the Holy Ghost that he would not depart until he had seen the Lord Christ. Now, think about how old this man was. He would not depart means at the time we were being introduced to Simon, Simon was close to dying. But he had been praying for years before Jesus was born. So, the angel appearing to Mary, a thou that were highly favored of God, was not ordinary. Somebody prayed it. What about the woman, the prophetess? She had been praying for years too. Were they the ones that will fulfill the will of God? No. Were they fulfilling the will of God? Yes. What were they doing? They were praying for the plans and purpose of God to be battered upon their hearts. Let me ask, do you know they were the first two to know who Christ was? Think about it. Even the parents of Jesus didn't fully know who Jesus was, but those two they knew because they were prayer. Do you know what it means? You know, besides the fact that they mentioned the fact that those who were praying, do you know the Bible doesn't give us any details about them? They were not like Paul. They were not Peter. They were not James. They were not John. And what they did was so important that if they didn't do it, there will be no James, John, or Peter. Think about it. That means these people were God's confidants. I have a plan. Help me to pray. They didn't have big names though. I have a plan. Help me to pray. They didn't do ministry in the limelight at all. The only limelight they had was one day. They came to the temple when they brought Jesus. So they saw years after they been praying, the manifestation of their prayer. Look at Simon's prayer. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all nations. Simon was saying he was satisfied just being able to see Jesus. Sometimes you ask yourself, are you going to the same heaven that that person is going to? Praying for years. No other, no public recognition. None. Even Anna. I'm sure the way they were going about praying in temple, someone was wondering, what is wrong with this woman? Who is praying? What is it? How much is the problem of your life? He knew it had nothing to do with a problem. The salvation God prepared for all people was what they were praying for. And many people that will see them praying will not know how much they will reward it for what they did. So the angel suddenly appeared to Mary was not sudden at all. It was because at least two, we don't know how many others, have been praying for years until there was enough power in the prophecies spoken and in their prayer for Gabriel to manifest and appear to Mary and for Mary to accept. It took prayer. Hallelujah. Think about it this way. Was Mary the only virgin in the land? She wasn't the only virgin. She wasn't the only virgin. But they had prayed. The angel came to Mary. Mary accepted. What does it mean for her to accept? She agreed to the plan of God and the will of God. Okay. I'm deliberately opening some scriptures because if I do, we won't finish. And I just want to say something. Tonight, I just want to share some things with you from my heart because it's important for you to understand why we pray the way we pray. Our prayers beyond our gathering together to pray. Our gathering together to pray is training ground because there's need for corporate prayer together. So that when we're not even together corporately, individually, I want folks around me that know the importance of that. Is you've picked up burdens that you are even saying that, Pastor, I sense this. Let's pray. Because Jesus, the head of the church, will always give us signals. We are in the light, the enemies of the darkness. So there's nothing that a wants to throw her away, that we cannot talk by the power of God. Hallelujah. But then there's no point in having authority and power and we don't exercise it. So it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. It says he avails much. He produces so much results. It means that's tremendous power. As in tremendous power. He can alter situations. He can change circumstances. He can bring good out of an evil situation. But it's honest, it is heartfelt, it is continued. Why is that way? The person praying already knows this is what the outcome will be. Hallelujah. He knows this is what the outcome will be. In Acts chapter 12, I'm going to wind up with that. Look at Acts chapter 12. We have the story of Peter being prayed for by the early church. Let's just start and just start reading. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, put him in prison and delivered him to four contingents of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers. To keep him. Intending after he started to bring him forth to the people, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without what? Ceasing of the church unto God for him. Why did the Bible use the word but? I want you to see if you understand the narrative. Why does it introduce what but prayer was made? But there is letting you know, after Peter was captured, something was done by the church. After James was captured, nothing was done by the church. The church learned a bitter lesson that James was captured not because of any personal sin, but because he was a visible figure in the church. The church did nothing, obviously. So the word body is letting you know that when they took Peter, the church got serious. So saints die, not always because of any personal sin. Many are the afflictions. If Satan could do it, he will kill all men of God available. Why do we pray? Deliverance is more than a promise. It's a reality in Christ. How is it manifest? We pray it. We pray it out. Hallelujah. We pray it out. The power of God is like electricity, that it is in supply. When you put on the switch, you are the one that determines what it will light the bulb, it will cook your food, it will iron your clothes, it will power your fan. All the power company does is release power. You are the one that determines what it will be utilized for. That's what we do with prayer. We use prayer to supply and we use that to determine what the power will do. That's not God's prerogative, that's our prerogative. So when they realized that James was also an apostle, in fact, he was one of Jesus' closest, and they just killed him like that. So God was just looking. But they didn't understand the spiritual laws. So the testimony we have here, when he had apprehended him, because he proceeded further, means that when he saw the success he had with James, so these were not invincible. Go and bring that one too. That won't happen. He said, but prayer was made without what? Is there a prayer point? Yes and no. What's the prayer point? What do you want to pray for? Peter must not die. Peter must be free. That was prayer point. How did they pray without season? How did they pray? Did you say, Peter must not die? Peter must not die. Everybody be tired. What's their prayer point? What did they want to pray for? That Peter will be delivered. So somebody likely will come up and say that, let's just pray that Peter will be delivered. Let's just trust Peter. Let's pray, and they start praying in the spirit. The only way you can pray without ceasing is to pray in the spirit. That's the only way you can pray without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing means that likely there was a prayer chain. So we have the whole church. As of this time, church was over 10,000 membership. See that prayer chain. So let's say every single day you have about 500 people praying. When it gets to the end, the next set will start it again. How many people I'm talking about? Every single day they are praying. There's a prayer chain. So, it was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Next verse. Herod will have brought him for the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. You know, when angels appear, there's a radiance and a glory about them. It makes the angel's spirits, his ministers, flames of fire. So there's an appearance that they have. A light shined in prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains, what? fell from his hands. Sometimes when you do casual surface reading, you don't know what's really going on. Let me explain something to us. Angels are spirits. Say angels are spirits. Okay. This is my sister, Phoebe. I can hold her hand and feel her hand for a very simple reason. I'm spirit, but I'm covered with flesh. She's a spirit, she's covered with flesh. So this is flesh to flesh. It takes tremendous power for a spirit being to cross over to flesh. You hear what I said? It takes tremendous power for a spirit to touch flesh. There has to be a degree of praying that will give permission to a spirit to physically touch flesh and flesh will feel it. They don't operate in the same realm at all. Do you hear what I just said? At all. So, listen, the kind of prayer they prayed that make the angel first appear, then the angel smote Peter. Smote is not. It is, bros, wake up. And it could make physical contact. Tremendous power. Then, when Peter responded, the chains fell. Is there anybody touching the chain? Where's power coming from? The power they generated with the angel is now manifested. Look at the next thing that it says. Look at the next thing, verse 8 now. And the angel said unto him, get thyself and bind all thy sandals, and so eat it. So Peter started cooperating with what the angel said, isn't it? So I know. Because we're going to see something shortly. When you pray for people, what you are generating is power. The people you are praying for will have to cooperate with that power. You don't have to have faith because you are praying to generate, but they have to have faith when it comes to reception. So the angel has come. How did the angel come? The church prayed. Their prayer brought or released the angel. There's tremendous power that the angel is now using. Where is the power the angel using is coming from? From the prayer of the saints. Okay? Now, so you see, he said unto him, get thyself and bind on thy sandals. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a... You know, the interesting part of that verse alone is this. When he said he thought he saw a vision, it's very possible, listen carefully, that Peter had seen a vision of being delivered before the angel came. You understand what I just said? Okay. You see, why will Peter sleep on the eve of his death? Because he was an apostle. No. It's not apostolic. No. What did Jesus say to Peter before he went to heaven? He told Peter, now you are young. Wherever you want to go, you can go. But a time is coming when you are old. Another will lead you by the hand and take you to a place you don't want to go. So the first thing Peter knew was, according to Jesus, he won't die young. You understand that? Now, there is very possible that before that angel appeared, Peter had seen a vision. And he thought it was still a vision, it was him. How many of you understand what I just said? You get that part? He thought it was a vision. So he was cooperating. Even if you're in a vision, to cooperate takes spiritual agreement. I mean, how do you understand? Somebody was asking me that. Pastor, if I saw so-and-so in the dream and they were chasing me and I was running, I said, let me tell you the thing about something about dream life. If you have revelation of the word of God in your normal life, when you get to dream life, that is what will play out. Whatever you see play out in your dream life is a reflection of how you are in your consciousness. So if you run in your dream life, it's because running is what you would do in your life. I'm just saying, dream life should show you your level of development. That's what the dream life should show you. Show you your level of development. Is that if I see which way, when I see which is in a dream, they always run from me. I have never run from one where I used to run before. I stopped running years ago. I thank my God. What am I saying? It's like a reflection of your spiritual state. That's what the dream is supposed to be. So if you have revelation of your authority, it just automatically starts playing out even in your dream life. Your dream will be different. Your dream will just play out what's already in your heart. That's what will happen. So in your dream, you don't get stronger in your dream and weaker in real life. No. Your dream is a measure of how strong you are most of the time. That's what happens. So the level of understanding Peter had that didn't make him, he wasn't first shocked. He wasn't transfixed. He didn't enter trance. He just got up. He got up. dressed up. He didn't ask any questions. He was just following the instruction of the angel. Follow me. There was enough power for the angel to wake him up. Part of that power was not meant to use to dress Peter. You dress yourself. Because your dressing yourself is part of your cooperating with the angel. Your faith. Your response to the power that was generated to deliver you. So, cast your garment about there and follow me, follow me. And he went out and followed him. And wisdom that he was, which was not by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Next verse. Was 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leaded unto the city, which opened to them of his own what? How many of you agree that takes power? Have you seen gates opening before by themselves? Without remote control. Chain are falling off. Now gate is opening by itself. Is that not power? It's power. So, and they went out and passed on through one street and fought with the angel departed from him. Or, that's all the angel was meant to do. The supply of the power was meant to accomplish that. Then Peter, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord God has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the affliction of the people of the Jews. Now, what does that last phrase mean? The Lord God has sent his angel. What does the Lord has sent his angel actually mean? The church has prayed and have secured the will of God. What's the will of God? Many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. The Lord, the angel of God encamped upon them that fear him. And what? And what? So between the encamp and deliver, what happens? Prayer. So the Lord here is the church at work. Hallelujah. The Lord here is the church at work. The church in the Lord's name is releasing angelic deliverance and ministry towards one of the saints. Intense prayer was prayed. And I've told us before, why do they need to pray that long? It's not always that it takes that long to generate such a power. It's because if you read from verse 1, you will see that when Herod took Peter after he had killed James, Peter said there, God sent again to deliver me out of Herod and all the expectation of the Jews. That means, spiritually speaking, there was enough pressure to back up Herod to ensure that Peter died. You know, in your place of work, when you have 3, 4, 5 people who have connived against you, it's evil. It's gang up, that is evil. In the book of Job, I think the day I read and I saw, you shall be hid from the scourge of the tongue. When I read it in Yoruba, it's terrible. You'll be hid from the scourge, which is sentences, statements that men are making against you. They are spiritual in nature. They are spiritual in nature. They are passing judgments. And they are planning and plotting. To make matters worse, they now use political power. What they did for Daniel, in the book of Daniel, before the king. They so hated him, they came up with an evil plot of how they were going to get rid of Daniel. So they persuaded the king unknowingly, and the king was on Daniel's side. But it shows that even when you have the ear of somebody in authority, always make sure that God is your trust. Because they were able to persuade the king, and the king didn't know that that's all they were doing. He just agreed that nobody should worship on this, so nobody should pray. He didn't know he was being tricked. By the time he realized it was too late, he had already made the decree that couldn't be changed. What if Daniel didn't trust in God? How would he be delivered? You know, it was the same thing Daniel was doing that delivered him. He was a praying man. He just kept praying. Nobody must pray. He said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. That's where my deliverance lies. Because at that point in time, political power failed Daniel. He wasn't going to come back. It was spiritual power that was going to produce results. Hallelujah. Let's leave Daniel. Where are we? Where are we, Peter? She's running up now. So, this is what Peter said. Next verse, quickly. Let's run up. So, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Were they still praying? Were they still praying? Okay, so. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to her king named Rhoda. So marry a Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened on the gate for gladness. I think somebody was actively in faith because she didn't see Peter, she only heard the voice. Now this has to be Peter. And then she went to go and tell her how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, you are mad. So people that are praying. They are praying, does it mean? They cannot say such things. You are mad. And they continue praying. He didn't stop the flow of tongues. He still continue praying. You see, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, this is angel. Imagine that. Next verse. But Peter continued knocking. So the girl continued insisting. Peter continued knocking. They kept saying, imagine, you are mad. It's okay, you are not mad, this is angel. Imagine that. Thank God Peter continued knocking. Until they opened the door, because the deliverance came, Peter cooperated, deliverance was wrought. The people were still like, ah, no, no, it can't come like that. How? So, was it their faith? No, it was their prayer. What kind of prayer is that? It's not prayer of faith, it's supplication. What was the prayer producing? Tremendous power. Who was meant to have faith? The one on the receiving end. They didn't have to have faith, they just generated power. Can you see the difference? So, that's why when you pray every day, you pray in the spirit. You said, I know I should pray because that is part of my ministry as a saint. I don't know what to pray for, but I know when I start, I will know. God is using the supply you are making to handle issues in the lives of others. That's a prayer ministry that every saint has. Every saint has. It will stop you from being selfish. It will move you away from, okay, what does God want me to do? I've already told people, what does God want you to do in life? Very simple. Very, very simple. Once you are saved, be a member of local assembly. That's the first thing. Number two, win souls. Number three, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. It's still life valid. Join local assembly, be committed. Win souls, pray every day. You have done the will of God. In fact, you are doing the will of God. Don't wait for any special assignment. That is assignment enough. Everyone who does that, if there's more that God wants you to do, he will bring you into it. You don't need any special assignment more than that one. Once you are doing that one, if there's more for what you want to do, it will bring you into it. But those who are not faithful doing that, they should not forget, about any other thing. That was what Paul was doing, and Barnabas. That's all they were doing. And from the day Paul got filled with spirit, he started testifying of Jesus. For they had to tell him that, but they will kill you. They will kill you. Stop talking like that. He said, no, I must testify immediately. There was no wasting of time. Before Paul studied, he had revelation. Testified immediately. It was not within his time. It was immediate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, our prayer life, that of the believer, in fulfilling the will of God, there's a gap. There's an assignment. There are things that we will never see manifest until we step into that kind of praying. It is not selfish. It's not about things. It's about people. It's about fellow saints. It's about seeing God's will done in the life of fellow saints. Amen? Hallelujah. So this will be the last, at least for now, until we come back to the place of prayer, because every single year we must teach prayer. Because we must help ourselves to pray. We must remind ourselves what our prayer is about. We will not be having prayer meeting this Saturday. It will be first Saturday in the month of September. That's next week, Saturday. That's going to be our time for prayer, our normal prayer meeting. It's going to be first Saturday. We're going to come together to pray. Now, every single day, what are we praying for? We've just finished Holy Ghost meeting, isn't it? We're now praying for the plans and purposes of God for His church. We're also praying for fellow believers, okay? So I'm praying for Sister Divine, I'm praying for Sister Mercy, I'm praying for Sister Titi, I'm praying for Sister Pat, I'm praying for Brother God, I'm praying for Sister Phoebe, I'm praying for every one of us that you stand what? Perfect and what? Complete in all. You know, if you play your role, I will benefit. I hope you know that. If you play your role, I'll benefit. If you stand fully in the will of God, if for instance it is to teach me certain things, because you are standing in that will, your teaching me certain things will bring me to a place of maturity, so I've reaped part of the things I prayed for. So if my praying that you stand in your own ministry properly, you feel what God wants you to do, which is whatever God wants you to do, once you can do it fully, execute fully, the whole body what benefits. Why was there a lot of emphasis for praying for ministers? Very simple. Ministers are specially called of God to feed the flock. To feed the flock. So in feeding the flock, they are doing God's will, or they are being used of God to bring other saints to what? Maturity. Somebody look at me one day and say that, Pastor, how do you cope? I say, ask Jesus how he copes. He said, but aren't you going through? I said, I'm not going through anything. He is going through. He said, I cannot come and kill myself. Because I follow the same scriptures I teach you also. And then the one who calls you is what? Faithful. Hallelujah. So he equips those he has called. The grace to stand in this office is not a natural one. It is supernatural. It's not natural at all. It doesn't get hard. It doesn't have the counseling. It is grace. That is all it is. So it's not a natural ability. Any other person can get like this or collapse. But because you are graced, shows you are in an office. It's an office, okay? It's an equipping. That's why it's possible to do those things. So when you pray for those who are in those offices, you are actually praying that other believers who will receive through them will grow and mature and stand perfect in the will of God. Hallelujah. That's so important. Well, tonight, before we go, we want to pray for one or two people, and it has to do with health, okay? We're going to pray for Mrs. Inyo tonight. We sent one or two things to pray for her, but we trust the Lord to give us direction. We're going to pray for Mr. Bello also concerning health. We're also going to pray for the other MEs. So I mentioned how many people? Three people. We're going to pray for the other MEs. Why are we praying? Well, the effectual fervent prayer. We can determine the outcome. We can determine the end. We can determine the will of God. So what are we praying? That will of God will be done. That everything work out right for each and every one of them. They will enjoy perfect soundness and complete deliverance in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus for them. Let you your breast to thank you, Father. Thank you. 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 Thank you for your mighty power. Thank you. Belly grows every day. We take delivery of amazing results, of mighty, mighty testimonies. Allah brush, for you, by your spirit, you have effected mighty things in and through us. We thank you for this precious saints. We thank you because your will is wrong. We thank you because your grace and your glory. Belly grows every day. Has turned things around. Thank you for the answers which we receive gladly. We give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.